Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. We read this: "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Every year lately seems to fly by, and this one has been no exception, at least to me. We're headed once again toward Christmas, that season of wonder and reflection where we return and remember what God did for us so many years ago, and in the most unlikely of places and ways. As I was preparing and praying for our time together this morning, though, I found that I could only shake my head as I tried to understand it all. Of course, when I finished thinking about it and shaking my head, I still couldn't understand it. I mean, think about it for a moment. The plan to have the Son of the Most High God born to a virgin in Bethlehem in a cold, damp, dark, and dirty stable behind an inn with only a few shepherds and barnyard animals there to commemorate and celebrate the wonder of the moment. Isaiah prophesied that birth many years earlier when he announced that, as is recorded in chapter 7, verse 14 of the book of Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel meaning, of course, God with us. But I'm sorry, guys. It is simply not the way any of us would have introduced the Savior into the world, is it? Stop with me for a moment and think about it. Mary was a young girl, maybe 14, 15, 16 years of age. No doubt she came from a poor family, yet there she was, chosen by God for perhaps the most important act of obedience in all of history, the virgin birth. What a strange way to save the world. Only through the wonder of the mind and heart of God. Of course, we need to remember that we're not talking about you or me. We're talking about God, who was there before anything, as my granddaughter Ellie reminded me when she asked, "Gran, who made God?" And if we're honest about it, a lot of things which happened and still happen, and a lot of his ways, well, not only are they hard to understand, but they do actually seem a bit strange. After all, through the ages, he has communicated with us through angels and dreams. He has written messages on walls and talked through a donkey. He has led his people out of slavery in Egypt, crossed the desert with a column of clouds by day and a column of fire by night to show them the way. He had a big fish chase after and swallow a deserter named Jonah. He parted the Red Sea so that his people could escape the Egyptian army. He has healed the sick and brought people back to life. And then he allowed his son to be nailed on the cross and raised him from the tomb for you and for me. Which of those doesn't seem a bit strange to you? Maybe even hard to understand. Yet he did them all. So when are we going to submit, surrender, and simply realize that we are never going to understand the infinite mind of God? I wonder why it is that we always seem to have to understand what and how our holy, all-powerful God does what he does before we will fully submit, before we will follow and believe in all that he can and will do. Isn't it enough for us to look back and see all that he has done? The truth is that we will never understand God's ways, God's mind, and his wonder, at least not on this side of heaven. But why not believe and follow? I mean, did you notice Mary? There she was, young, poor, a virgin, and probably not too sophisticated with the ways of the world and her culture. She asked a quick question of the angel Gabriel when he told her what was going to happen. She asked, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" Making sure he knew, just in case he didn't know and needed to know. And then when the angel Gabriel answered her and told her how it would happen, she was all in. She didn't say, "Are you nuts? You got to be kidding me. A baby? Me? How could this happen?" No, none of those words came from her lips. Instead, "Dear young Mary," with quiet, trusting assurance, said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She didn't question. She really had to be overwhelmed, though, by everything that was happening to her, but she didn't seek to control the situation. Instead, she simply said, "Let it be." Mary didn't have any idea how she would explain what was happening to her family, or to the family of Joseph, to whom she was engaged to be married, or to the friends in the community, who might surely want to know what was going on when they saw her walking around the neighborhood, still unmarried, but appearing to be with child, pregnant. She didn't understand it all and couldn't explain it all, but it didn't matter to her. She trusted God. She kept her sense of wonder at who he was and all he could do. "Let it be born in me." And so instead, Mary gave up control of everything and simply responded, "Let it be." Mary trusted God's plan, surrendered to the one she knew she could trust, and gave up control of her life to him. "Let it be," she said, "according to your word." Reading that story again in Luke causes me to realize that Mary's story, at times, is a lot like ours. We find ourselves in the middle of life, overwhelmed by things we don't understand, not knowing which way to turn or what we should do with the troubles and decisions we face. And at times, we've all reached a point where darkness is all we see and we don't know what to do or where to go for help and guidance. We look for answers, and in brokenhearted moments, we seek God's wisdom and direction and hope we'll recognize it when it comes. Yet we struggle to get to where Mary was, surrendered to the wonder of God. I don't know where they were in their walk of faith with our God of wonder, Mary's God. But even the Beatles, Paul McCartney, recognized the importance of this moment in history in one of their classics, "Let It Be." Listen to the words they wrote and sang. "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, 'Let it be.' And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, 'Let it be.' And when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, 'Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.' Whisper words of wisdom, 'Let it be.'" Mary's example to you and me and all the world in that divine moment in history as she stood before the angel Gabriel tells us how to face all that is before us. Mary's example points us to the faithfulness and wonder of God and to just give God control. To surrender to the one we can always trust in the midst of whatever I'm going through or whatever you're going through. In darkness and trouble, confused and uncertain, feeling down and brokenhearted, her example to us is to give God control, to trust and surrender our way to the God who created us and sent his Son for you and for me. She said, "Let it be born in me. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." What about you? Tired of trying to run it all? Not sure what to do next or which way to go? Maybe it's time to stop trying to run the world and predict the future. Maybe it's time instead to give the God of it all, the God of wonder, the control of our lives. And the neat thing about doing that is we can always trust him with it all. Let it be. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for my friends. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their hearts to serve you. I thank you for how they lean into you most times, if they're like me. Help us to lean into you all times, to say to you in every moment of our lives, let it be according to your word, and surrender to you and to follow you and let you lead us through each day. Thanks, Lord, for all you do for us and with us, and for your Son whom you sent for us. And it's in his precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.